Doris Day.
Well, that's fun.
Our special guest, Bing Crosby. The four hits and a miss, the new Les Brown Band.
We use one exclusively. How about it?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me? My name is Robert Hair of Gold, eyes of blue, and muscles like Errol Flynn Hope.
And now, Bob Hope, one's eye view of the news. Berlin, Germany. The gap in Russian-American relations widened here this week when Germans living in the Soviet zone were forbidden to chew gum because it is too American.
Berlin is now divided into three zones: spearmint, juicy fruit, and stick it behind your ear, Fritz. Here comes the commissar.
After the law was passed against gum chewing, they arrested one German because his jaws were moving. Policeman said, "You're either chewing gum, talking, or eating." The man said, "I was only breathing." Policeman said, "Let me see your permit." Can you imagine if they abolished gum chewing here in America? We'd be in an awful fix. What would hold the theater seats together? I owe a lot of wonderful memories to gum chewing. I used to chew it as a kid. My girlfriend used to chew it, too. In fact, when we kissed, sometimes it lasted 3 hours.
Washington, D.C. Dr. Northern, a nationally famous biochemist, has proved to the Department of Agriculture that the addition of minerals to the soil produces vegetables that are more than five times as rich in vitamin content.
They've injected so much iron into the celery, lettuce, and radishes that now if you toss a salad and it misses the bowl, it can break your leg.
And the latest method is to drop the minerals on the soil from a plane. You have to aim carefully, though. One Pennsylvania farmer missed his field, and a mile away, John L. Lewis came running out of a mine shaft with a geranium popping out of each eyebrow. That'd be better on television, wouldn't it? All those vitamins in the soil are affecting the earthworms, too. I went fishing and put one on a hook, and the first thing I knew, the worm got a stranglehold on a trout, flipped him up in the bank yelling, "Hey, look at me, I'm Gorgeous George."
New York, New York. Generals, politicians, entertainers, and secretaries all hit the literary jackpot as this week found their book topping the bestseller list.
Everybody's writing a book about their experiences except Artie Shaw. He's still doing research.
And Drew Pearson tried writing a mystery story, but it didn't work out. He couldn't control himself. In the first paragraph, he predicted who did it. I'm reading a book right now that's very interesting. It's about a traveler who's hiking around the United States, and when he comes to California, he thinks it's so beautiful that he sleeps that night under a rose bush. It's called The Case of the Quick Frozen Tourist.
Los Angeles, California, one of the largest crowds in football history, this Saturday jammed the Coliseum to see the University of Southern California score the major football upset of the year by holding Notre Dame to a 14-14 tie.
I've never seen such a crowd in the Coliseum. The stands filled at capacity, and some of the fans even more so.
There were 100,000 people at the game, including me. People were sitting so close together that when I got up, I was wearing a blanket, three fraternity pins, open-toed gold sandals, and a... There's more, but if you don't want it, okay. Open-toed gold sandals and a raccoon coat with a student still in it. Oh, you're so impetuous. Boy, that was really a rough game. I never saw two teams knock each other around like that. In one play, a Trojan ran 40 yards for a touchdown, but they called him back. The ball he was carrying had ears on it.
Polytech University. Professor Capstaff, noted psychiatrist, made the statement that his experiments have proven that inanimate objects can think.
Hi. Inanimate objects can think?
Well, that's right, Bob. So yesterday, I went to a psychiatrist, and you know what I did? I took a cake of Swan soap with me.
The first four rows better move back. As he warms up, small bubbles come out of his eyes.
Well, sir, Bob, the psychiatrist put that cake of Swan on his couch and asked what was troubling it. And that little cake of Swan looked up at him and said, "Well, nothing's troubling me. I'm happy. I'm happy because I'm the newer, better white floating soap. I'm wonderful in the bath. I don't leave you with a taut, soapy feeling because I rinse away so completely and leave your skin soft and smooth."
I know. I use it on my hands, and they're getting so soft, my fingers look like five peeled bananas.
And then, Bob, the psychiatrist looked at the cake of swan and said, I think you have a split personality. And the cake of swan looked back and said, well, I'm glad I have a split personality. You can use half of me in the kitchen and half in the bath.
If you don't buy it this way, folks, he pokes it through your bathroom window on the end of a mop.
Well, Bob, I want everybody to know about Swan because it's made by a modern patented process that no other soap can use. That's why when you use it anywhere in the household, you'll agree that Swan is better for baths, better for dishes and hands, better for babies. Swan is the best soap afloat.
Well, I Swan.
Me too.
Yes, sir.
Bye, Cracky.
Shall I wrap it up? The cover girl of modern television and radio magazine, Miss Doris Day, with Les Brown and his band. Miss Day, please.
My darling, get used to the name of my darling. It's easy to say. Till a moment ago, we were Mr. and Miss. Discussing the weather, avoiding each other's eyes. Till a moment ago, when we happened to kiss, and we kissed the Mr. and Miss goodbye. Now at last, I can find.
My darling,
I've wanted to call you my darling. For many and many days.
My darling,
I fluttered and stirred like a starling. My courage just melted away. Now all at once it's me. And there's not a thing I'm saying enough to say. Get used to the name of my darling. It's he.
Gee, that was great, Doris.
Oh, thanks, Hi, but I'm really surprised I was able to sing it all tonight. I'm so knocked out from Christmas shopping.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were helping Bob with his shopping. Tell me, Doris, is Bob spending very much money this Christmas?
Well, he said he was going to take it very easy because he lost a lot of money in the market.
Oh, did he have some of that amalgamated tin just before it went down?
No, he got caught with 52 airmail stamps when they dropped to 4 cents.
Well, that shopping tour, that tour must have been some experience.
Oh, you said it. I was waiting for him in front of Woolworth's. He was 10 minutes late, and I was getting very
excited. Gee, I better get going or I'll be late, but this is so interesting. I just can't tear myself away. That girl is so beautiful, and she's looking right at me. She smiled at me, and now she's winking. Gee, she's beautiful.
Look, Bud, I don't mind you looking at the television, but keep your clammy nose off my window.
I didn't have my nose against your window.
You did, too. And look at those 2 spots you made with your eyeballs.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Now take your stool and your little bag of popcorn and go home.
All right, mister. Well, I'd better get going.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, boy.
Well, thanks. And Yuletide greetings to you, Jolly St. Nick.
Who's Jolly? This California sunshine is freezing me to death. My feet are killing me, and this morning my unemployment check bounced.
Gee, are things really that bad?
Things are nauseating, boy. They're horrible. Merry Christmas, everybody. Put some money in the pot, boy.
Well, wait a second, Santa. Who does this money go to?
Well, it's for a very good cause. It's for the undernourished and downtrodden Eskimos of Upper Glendale.
Now, wait, there aren't any Eskimos in Glendale.
Can you prove it?
No.
Put some money in the pot, boy.
Well, I got to meet somebody right away or I'll be in trouble.
He's got trouble. Boy, I'm married to the most miserable, mean, and ornery woman that was ever allowed out of the snake pit.
She's really bad, huh?
Revolting. Merry Christmas, everybody. Boy, my wife is so homely, she's got a face like a plate of mashed potatoes with a lump still in it. Put something in the pot, boy.
Okay, here's some loose change.
Thanks. You know, I only get 10% of what I take in. Last week, the organization made $20, and all I got was $150.
Well, just a second. If you only get 10%, how come they got $20 and you made $150?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
Merry Christmas!
I'm sorry I kept you waiting, Doris, but here I am.
Oh, that's all right, Bob, but you better give me your Christmas list so that we can get started now.
I don't know which present to buy first.
Well, you should always buy the first gift for the person you love the best.
But, Doris, I've got everything.
Come on, let's go in this department store right here. Huh?
Okay.
Oh, Bob, about the present you're going to buy for me.
Oh, there's a friend of mine over there. Hello, Mort.
Bob, when you buy a gift for someone, don't you agree that you should buy them something they really want?
Oh, naturally.
Good. Well, I want either a real emerald and ruby bracelet and a full-length ermine coat, trim with mink, or a platinum diamond wristwatch studded with diamonds.
Hello, Mort.
Okay, let's look at your list now. The first name you have is Crosby, and right next to Crosby's name, you've written $2.25. Is that what you're going to spend?
That's plenty. Last year, I wanted a motorcycle to ride around Paramount Studios with, and I hinted it to Crosby. I must have told him 50 times that I wanted a motorcycle, and then came Christmas.
What did he give you?
An oil can and a road map.
Well, look, Bob, I have a wonderful idea. You give me your money because I know much more about shopping than you do, and I can save you an awful lot.
Okay, here's my wallet.
Oh, there's something that would be nice for Bing. A set of Matt's golf clubs.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, Clark! Clark, how much are those golf clubs?
$190. Hello, Mort.
Oh, gee, I think they're wonderful.
Doris, wait.
And how much is that bag that goes with them?
Yeah, that's $200.
It's just what we want.
Doris, wait.
We'll take the bags and the clubs. Let's see, that's $390, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's $400 and keep the change.
Mort, where are you?
Let's get going now because
wait a second, Doris. I want to ask this floor walker something. Pardon me, mister.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Hey, look. It's High Everbeck.
Yeah, get a load of him in a cutaway coat and striped trousers wearing a gardenia.
All floor walkers wear gardenias.
In their hair?
Hey, excuse me a second, Bob. Yes, madam, the big spectacle is on the fourth floor.
Hi, why do you have to take a part-time job?
Oh, excuse me, Bob. Yes, miss, the big spectacle is on the fourth floor, and don't forget to tell your friends about it.
Well, what's the big spectacle on the fourth floor?
Well, haven't you heard about it, Bob? It's the most beautiful Christmas tree in town. It's 35 feet high, has 1,000 lights, and 1,500 ornaments.
Are the ornaments pretty?
Oh, Bob, they're beautiful. Each one is a sparkling, dazzling, shining, pure white cake of swan soap.
Hello, Mort.
Yes, Bob, and how those women flock around the tree when they see all that swan, because they know that pure, gentle swan is better for dishes, because the faster, harder-working suds rinse away so completely, the dishes never need wiping.
Well, you've got to see that tree, Bob. You'll never guess what the ornament is up on the top of it.
Oh, yes, I will.
Well, what is it?
The Lever Brothers on a stick.
Well, really, the reason swan is so popular is because it's made by a modern, patented process no other soap can use, a process that makes swan as mild as the finest Castile. Swan's richer, gentle suds protect your hands and leave them soft and smooth. Now, just imagine any woman on Christmas morning. She wanted a mink jacket, but Santa has brought her something she likes just as well. A lovely cake of swan. Now, could a woman ask for anything more in her Christmas stocking?
Well, it would be nice to find Charles Boyer in there blowing bubbles.
Millions of housewives agree that for dishes, hands, or the bath, swan is the best soap afloat.
And here he is, is, ladies and gentlemen, the man who boiled the hot water when Al Jolson was born, Mr. Bing Crosby, right there.
A little bird told me that you love me.
That you love me.
And I believe that you do. That little bird also told me I was falling.
You were falling.
Falling for no one but you. There's no use denying, I might as well confess. Of all the girls I know, dear, I'm sure I love you best. A little bird told me we'll be happy.
Gonna be happy.
And we believe that it's true. And we believe that it's true.
This little bird told us when you marry,
we'll have a pretty cottage not too far, all fenced in like a movie star. Great Dane pup, we're gonna call him Ace, lying there by the fireplace. A goldfish pond and a wishing well. Everything is gonna turn out well.
A little bird told us you'll be happy.
And we believe that it's true. And now we know that it's true.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.
Good night. Wait a minute, boy. Where are you going?
I sang my number. I gave the show a little class. Now I'm off.
Gave the show a little class. Look, you hopped up Hildegard. You'd better stop going to that African barber. He's been shrinking your head again.
Flattery will get you nowhere, Saggy. Now, come. Where's this new show of yours everybody's been talking about?
Well, haven't you heard? I'm on for Swan this year. They make soap, you know.
Yeah? Too bad it's not something you use.
Wait. Hey, Lump Lap, you've got two chins. Would you like to try for one?
Now, let's face it, Nostril King. Before I sang my song, this show was laying a large swan egg. True or false?
Get him. Look, Philco Knob, last week...
A large set.
You're wearing the cabinet there, too. Look, last week my hand slipped and I happened to tune in your show. Now I know why it's transcribed and you broadcast it later.
What do you mean?
Gives you time to get out of town and hide before the people hear it.
To think, when I first met this boy, he had a job blowing out glove compartments at a car wash.
Steady, couch pouch.
Now, look, ratchet head, if I'm doing...
Oh! Wait, late writing. Wait. Oh, there's some sneaky things.
If I'm going to endure this vilification, I want my money first.
Shall I explain vilification before we go on? He'll understand it around Gonzaga anyway. How about that? He's been on the show for 3 minutes. He's worried about the loot. Bing, what are you knocking yourself out for? After all, you know you can't take it with you.
I know, so I'm sending my brother Everett on ahead to open up a charge account for me. I'm ready.
Bing, there's something that's always bothered me. When you send in your income tax, how do you get that mattress in the mailbox?
Easy, bog brain. I never have any trouble with my taxes. Why, I'd give President Truman the shirt off my back.
I know. I saw pictures of him wearing it in Key West.
Oh. What's that you're wearing there? A tamale husk with a belt in the back?
It's nice of you to slip your coat on for this anyway.
Think I'm too frisky?
Say, don't care for that, huh? I guess not. We'll ignore the next six lines. All right. New kind of radio. Just throw the whole thing away. Hey, look. You better stop being so frisky or I'll tell Abby Rents to stop souping up your wheelchair.
Wheelchair? Come, come. That's no way to talk to a man who's just reached 35.
You're 35? 35 times what?
Wait a minute. You're snapping your wig, my boy. If you remember at my last birthday party, I had a cake with only 35 candles on it.
Yeah, but at the bottom it said continued on the next cake. What does age matter? I saw your last picture and I thought you were great.
That's a coincidence, so did I.
Read that line again. There's a talent scout here tonight from the Wilson Ham Company.
He's got his stamp. He'll make you grade A, I'm sure.
That's a stag one, a pink one. You know, we ought to make a picture together again, Bing. I stopped over at your house last night to talk to you about it, but nobody was home.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I must have rung your bell about five times.
Six times.
Oh, so it was you up in the window with the hot oil, huh? Look, Vigor, old boy, you're just jealous because I made the pale face without you.
Me jealous of Bob Ho?
Mm-hmm.
I have so much more than Ho's nose. Why should I fight it?
Tell me, Bob, get to laugh without even reading it. I love that.
How'd you feel having Jane Russell opposite you instead of me in that picture?
How would anyone feel switching to filet mignon after a diet of hog's livers?
Hold it, swivel snout. Hold it.
But really, Bing, we always have so much fun making pictures together. People seem to like them. They do well at the box office. How come we haven't worked together lately?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
I don't know how to break this to you, kid, but on the screen, you sort of cramp my style.
What do you mean?
Well, for my money, you don't look too good.
With your money, nobody has to look too good. Excuse me, Bing. I didn't mean to raise my voice.
That's all right.
You're sure I didn't blow your hearing aid?
I'm tuned in to We the People. I'm on a two-party line. Besides, kid, I like to do a lot of singing in my pictures. And with you around, it's just
singing?
Some... Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to say anything, but when you sang your song before, you sounded like Jessica with a net dragon. Why don't you give up?
Give up? Singing is my life, Robert.
It is, huh?
Of course, I've been lucky. There's the radio and the records and the jukeboxes, but I dare say I'd have been a singer 200 years ago.
Weren't you?
I ignore that and repeat, Bob, that 200 years ago, I still could have made a living with my pipe.
Are you kidding? I suppose composers like Mozart and Beethoven would have been writing songs for you.
Not wholly impossible. I can see myself asking Ludwig von Beethoven to knock out a little ditty for me.
Almost sounds as if we're going into a sketch.
Could be.
Already.
Ach, der Lieber.
I've got to stop those jam sessions with Dizzy von Gillespie.
Oh, Ludwig. Ludwig.
Ja, Mama.
I've got a message for you. Mo calls.
Mo who?
Mozart.
Mama, have you been spiking the strudel again?
There's somebody here to see you. Herr Bingel von Krosbein.
Oh, well, send him in.
Good day. I'm Herr von Krosbein.
Who?
Herr von Krosbein.
The Krosbein, I believe, but where the hell?
Say, tell me, is that your nose or are you eating a sausage? Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Well, I'm a singer.
A broken-down schnook like you is a zinger? Ach, you liverwurst, this is giving me mine Charlie's.
I have to, you know, I'm Bingo von Krosbein, the famous zinger. For 3 years, I played at Slapsy Fritzies. And I've come all the way from Unter den Linden to see you. Jawohl, auch der Liebe und unter Blitzen, ich weine uns hier.
Lean back, Dummkopf, you're getting Limburger on the microphone.
Believe me, that's an improvement. Look, Beethoven, I got a deal for you.
You're
a composer, I'm a singer.
All right, I let's try a song together.
Good.
Good.
You know, Klausbein, I dedicated this composition to that wonderful restaurant that used to be on Oberhauser Street.
Oh, yeah, you mean that delicatessen place where they had those king-size pigs feet?
Yeah. Tiny voice behind the bar, and he had a big red nose. Mold would make the Wiener schnitzel and the sauerkraut with the meanies in the middle. A lot of wonderful plays for tinies and more. They never would light out the lights, cause the place would never close.
And Schultz would play a squeeze box all of it off and leave us such a beautiful smoke.
You could blow your top in tinies and more.
We must the gay blades in those days, eh, my dear?
Yeah, I remember we belonged to the Wilhelmstrasse and Tickled Herring and Necking Society.
Yeah. Sometimes we got around to the Pickled Herring.
Yeah. You flacked to me, Crossbine.
Oh, you stinker, you.
Don't care.
Has your nose always been like that, or did you have that ballpoint put on it there?
Yeah. What is
that?
The free lunch was gorgeous, the beer was always cold, and the dancing with the women, ah, the women,
yeah, your voice.
You could smell the place for 16 blocks, and it wasn't any rose. Garlic, cheese, and Olenburg,
and pickles mixed with the herring together, and the meatballs tasted just like leather.
Chopped up liver and bologna, pickles, pink feet, that were bony, and salami.
Say, Professor!
What is it?
Now you heard me sing, how do you like my voice?
Please, not while I'm eating.
Let's go where the place is jumping, let's all go down to high knees and
all. Want to thank Bing Crosby for being with tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're making plans for next Tuesday's show, and we'd like your advice. Would you rather have me sing Buttons and Bows, or would you rather have Jane Russell? Well, next Tuesday, I'm just kidding. That gal you'd like to see most in her Christmas stockings, my two-gun mates from the Pale Face will be here, Jane Russell. And folks, there are only 15 more shopping days before Christmas, which is still plenty of time to remember the scientists who are looking for a cure for arthritis. If you want to help, write to Arthritis, Box 1200, General Post Office, New York, New York. Millions of people have arthritis. Millions of dollars are needed. So don't forget the address. Arthritis, Box 1200, General Post Office, New York, New York. Thanks, and good night, everybody.